independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Why did he say that? Why did he tweet that? What should we interpret from that?
As I mentioned, the president has nothing further to add on that.
Are there recording devices in the Oval Office or in the residence?
As I said for the third time, there is nothing further to add on that.
How many times did you say it? Third time. Don't make me come across there. You know who I am? I'm Sean Spicy Spicer. Spice Man talking today. The tweet about that President Trump tweeted out today that there better not be any tapes directed at Comey about their conversations. Just you, why? Why would you do that? Right? That to me was, I found that bizarre. Right? I find these kind of situations that, even though I don't think there's anything, again, I don't think there's there when it comes to Russia and the whole nine yards. When you do stuff like this, it makes people question, even people that may support you, it makes them question, well, why would you say something like that? Like, why? What do you get out of that? You fired the guy. Rosenstein fired the guy. Right? He was the one who was the dude, Rod, call him Rod Roger. Sounds like a great name. Rod Rosenstein, who was the, attorney general's second in charge, the deputy attorney general, right? The D-A-G, or DAG, as I call him. DAG goes and fires him. Not a big fan. But then, people, you know what's going to happen. You know people are going to question the firing, no matter when it comes. But when you do it the way you did it, when things don't seem succinct inside of the White House and inside of the talking point world that comes out of that White House and throughout the administration, and contradict yourself, and then on top of all of that, you stir the pot a little bit more by doing what? Throwing out there in a tweet that there better not be any recordings of our conversations. And then the way you take it, look, the way you take it and the way most people would take it is that seems kind of like a threat. Over the weekend, Chuck Schumer talking to Rachel Maddow, I know, shocker that he was on the show, but talking to her said, you don't screw with the intelligence community because they have 10 ways from Sunday how to screw you. And you think to yourself, well, that sounds like a threat, right? Like if you do anything to them, they'll come after you. Well, when you tweet something like this, it feels kind of threatery.
That's not a threat. He's simply stated a fact. The tweet speaks for itself. I'm moving on.
Okay, but they're not moving on. That's the whole thing. You may be moving on, but we're over here, right? But as he's saying, look, you know what? See how it works is the train moves, not the station. I'm the train and I'm moving. So you stay at the station, but the train's driving away. But I did find it to be bizarre. I don't care about any of the Comey stuff. I don't think there's any there. I think there were going to be some situations where you may find some people that have done some stuff that they shouldn't have done. They're going to be queried about it. They're going to be asked questions about it. They may be potentially in the crosshairs of something. But I don't think it's ever going to lead to the president. I don't think it's ever going to lead to anybody who was deeply involved within the campaign. I don't think any of those things. But you just make it worse upon yourself when you do something like this, when there's really no need.
We see time and time again an attempt to parse every little word and make it more of a game of gotcha, as opposed to really figure out what the policies are. And I think that's where there's a lot of dismay, and I don't think it's something that just alone the president feels. But I think that there are times when you more than not read a story where someone's trying to pull apart one word, one sentence, and say, aha, and make it a gotcha thing.
I have no idea what he's talking about there. He went in like 12 different directions. I understand what he's saying, but like, I don't know fully what he's talking about. Like, I get the media is always trying to look into something and saying, aha, gotcha, kind of thing. And but there's nothing to read in. If you read the tweet by the president, it essentially says, there better not be any tapes. How would you take that? If I looked at somebody and said, hey, you better not have taped me. There was no need. That was my thing, too. There's also no need for something like this. No need. We move from there to things that I think matter, which, again, Obamacare, still alive, but barely. Aetna's pulling out of its final two markets. I think one time they were in 17. They're pulling out of the last two. They've lost like $400 million. They can't do it anymore. For all of the talk and the screaming and the yelling and the craziness that's going on in the world of Comey, which, by the way, if you look at all of social media, the Comey firing rates so low on any of this stuff that it's almost negligible compared to all of the other things that people are caring about. The economy, right? Taxes, healthcare, Obamacare being gone, and also the new AHCA, whatever it is, ACHA. I don't even know what it's called at this moment in time. But Orion Care is what I'll call it. For all of that thing, for all of those things, it's way down there. But when I look and I see, wow, you know, healthcare, very important. We've heard nothing about it. Last week, it was all the rage. It was all the talk. The week before that, again, we've heard nothing. When's the Senate going to start taking a look at this? Wait, we're hearing, well, it's going to be a little bit of delay here. Oh, we're not going to worry about taxes. This right here could be a non-tax issue. Aetna's pulling out. There are going to be states where there may be one, maybe no insurers whatsoever. What happens then? You know, for all of the yapping and trapping out there, Democrats, for all of this Obamacare, the Republicans are trying to fix a mess that's out there. You promised there was going to be a $2,500 a year savings for the Americans. About $2,500 the other direction. That's a $5,000 switch. You said if we liked our doctor, we could keep our doctor. If we liked our plan, we could keep our plan. You said all of those things, and yet none of them came true. We were going to insure so many millions and billions of more people, and we went from 14% to 10.9%. That's not like it's the greatest thing of all time. Better, but at what cost? Healthcare is spiraling out of control. You knew it was, but you wanted to hold on as long as possible because you got your tentacles inside of the healthcare world. It's 1/6 of our economy, and now Aetna's saying, I'm done, we're out of here. All the while, you're pissed off at the Republicans, and you think what they're doing is horrible. You broke it. You're not helping fix it. These Republicans are going out to town halls, and they're getting their asses handed to them, and some of them rightly so. But you know what? Why aren't you getting your asses handed? Because you put everybody into this mess, and then you've done nothing to try to fix this. You sat around and did nothing. And you're like, well, we realize there's some issues. Well, if you realize there's some issues, how about we fix the issues before the bottom of the boat finally gives way and we completely sink? How about that? Partisan politics, we get it. I understand it's about politics for you guys. But for us, it's about our paychecks. For us, it's about how much money we got to spend on all kinds of things like healthcare. For us, it's about choices at times of what do I pay this month and what can I put off for 2 weeks if I speak to them. That right there is the issues we should be talking about. The rest of this stuff is crap. The rest of this stuff is noise. The rest of this stuff is what distracts you from what ends up going on because behind the scenes, they're doing bad deals. And by bad deals, I don't mean illegal deals. I mean bad deals for us, the American taxpayer, the American people, the American voter. They're giving themselves pork. They're saying one thing and doing another. We got to do better, and we got to force them to get your ass there. You know what this reminding me of at this point in time? It's the Palestinians and the Israelis. They don't want to get anywhere near each other to do the right thing. They want no part of this at this point in time. Yet all the while, the Republicans are getting hammered because they're trying to fix a broken system that is going to die. And they're taking it in the shorts. The media is destroying them. They're going to town halls. Did you see that lady chase that guy the other day screaming and yelling in her car? Chasing a congressman? It's ridiculous. Why aren't you out there for Bernie Sanders? Pinning his ear saying, Bernie, what are you going to do about it? Right? Stop telling me, oh, we're going to get socialized medicine. It's not happening today. What are you going to do about it? I live today, not tomorrow. What are you going to do about it? Why aren't you chasing the congressmen and women on the left side of the aisle saying, fine, you don't like it, but you know what? Obamacare's broke. You acknowledge that. Why aren't you trying to fix this? Oh, yeah. Because it's about the R and the D. Dumbasses. You know what? Hold all their feet to the fire. Hold all of their feet to the fire. Hold them all accountable. Because for all the Democrats are screaming and yelling, and again, this matters because all of us have issues when it comes to healthcare at this point in time. If you're lucky enough to work for a company who's got a great deal, that's fantastic. But for a lot of us out there, small business owners, individuals, the struggle's real, baby. And I hold them all accountable. The mess came when you guys got involved. You tried to continue to have it go on. And all the while over these seven plus years, you strung it along as long as possible and continued to push it. The Republicans, with their fake show votes, finally had a chance to do something, and they flailed at the first attempt. They scurried at the second attempt, and you Democrats sit there and laughed and told everybody, everybody's going to die, and they're all going to be thrown off the side of a mountain. Bye-bye, Grandma. But you had 7.5 years to fix it, and you never wanted to entertain it? And you'll go, well, we wanted to talk to him. Well, you know what? They're willing to talk now. Why don't you talk now? Well, we don't want to talk now. Okay, I get it. I get it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Car Shield, love them. I got extended coverage for old Betsy. Betsy's not that old. I called her old Betsy. According, you know, for most people, you know, car's a little bit long in the tooth. She doesn't have all the great accoutrements, but you know what she has? She's got protection. Should anything happen to her transmission, her engine, should something go awry, Car Shield has got my back, has got her back. 24/7 roadside assistance. Read an article today that most people aren't ready to travel this year. Memorial Day is coming up soon. A lot of people are going to be driving. You're going to have issue with your engine, potentially, and you may not be under warranty from the manufacturer. What are you going to do then? You're going to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? You just got finished paying it off. Now you want to go out and take out another payment? No. Do what I did. Get extended coverage from Car Shield. Again, 24/7 roadside assistance. I pick the mechanic should something happen to Betsy. She goes in. She gets taken care of. They pay that mechanic directly. And in between her going in and me getting her back, they make sure I have a rental car so I get to and fro with zero problems. Don't fret anymore about high repair bills. Car Shield's administrators pay close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100 and mention code Benson or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson. You'll save yourself 10%. A deductible may apply. What's next? It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next? You know, one of the things I want to look at is what's next for the Democrats in 2018. Because before we were going to break, we were talking about Obamacare and now that the Republicans own it. And a lot of people are saying, look, the Democrats have a real upper hand. As we all know, what took place in, you know, when Obamacare rolled on in and the Democrats were riding high and then all of a sudden midterm elections happened and they floundered and it's just been a runaway since then, minus the presidency in Obama's second term, that victory. Outside of that, it's just been loss after loss after loss. So people are assuming automatically that the Democrats have this in hand and that it's simple and it's easy. And it's a victory for them in the midterms in 2018. Not so fast. First, I think the more that people start to realize that the Democrats are going to be, you know, holding up a lot of this stuff, they're gonna have some comeuppance, and it's not just gonna be from people out there who are honest enough to say it. The media, I think most of you out there realize that. You know, look, I understand partisan politics. I understand that you have to have your sound bites. I understand that you have to fight a little bit, but when you start stalling things and people start getting frustrated, it's going to come, you know, and bite you in the ass. And here's something else. They struggle in midterms. They have about a 20% lower turnout comparatively to Republicans when it comes to midterm elections. So it's not just a automatic that, boom, this is going to happen. Now, in saying that, there is always the Trump effect. Nobody really knows. But I'll tell you this, if the economy improves and we see a second half where we see a GDP of 2.5% and then finally 3.5%, and early through next year it starts to ramp up where we have a solid 3% growth, all of a sudden those midterms look a little bit different when people are smiling because they got a few dollar bills in their hands. And some of this stuff has gotten through, maybe tax, maybe a fix somewhat in the healthcare world. Again, we don't know what that's going to look like, but when people have more money in their pockets and you've got more confidence, that noise that the Democrats are going to throw out there is going to be a lot more muted in people's minds and ears, because they're going to look around and say, you know what? Things are going okay. Things are going okay. So I wouldn't count it. I wouldn't count the Republicans out. I think they got a very good chance. But I think the Democrats are hoping that they can hold up enough, that they can stall the economy enough, that they can look to regain a lot of those losses that they've had over the last 7 years. But as far as I'm concerned, we got to hold their feet to the fire to get their ass to the table to start dealing with the president, like him or not, because it's not about you. It's about us. That's what's next for the Democrats in 2017-18. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The Friday edition of the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You text the program 323-538-2423. Love getting text messages from you all, so feel free to do that. I've said earlier today, I don't really care about the James Comey stuff. I think it has no effect on our life. I'm going to be, you know, I watch some of the stuff. And to be honest, at this point in time, I think most of it's just noise. And a couple people have texted in and said, oh, it's very important. I just asked the question, how does this affect your life? Where is the importance in your life of James Comey? I live a very simple life. I tell people this. I eat out pretty much all the time. I've lived in a studio apartment for a while because I am as simple as they come. What you hear on the radio is what you get, and that's what I'm like in real life. I go out. I'm always out eating and stuff, and I talk to people because I, you know, my agent always jokes around and says, you've never met a stranger. I've never met a stranger. I talk to just about anybody. And I, over the last 72 hours, I've asked numerous people about James Comey. And I have met very few people out of that, out of the 20 people I've talked to or so, give or take a few, who have an opinion, but most importantly, I would say 80% of them don't know who he is or what's taking place. And what they do know, if they know anything, is the periphery. Like, oh, yeah, that guy, and that's it. But they couldn't pick him out of a lineup. And these are people who are voters. These are people who aren't stupid. They're not idiots. They're not ignorant. They're apathetic in a lot of ways. And most importantly, they're busy human beings. They're busy. Texter writes in and says, okay, nobody cares about Comey.
So does that mean it will be brought up as ammo against Trump in 2018, 2020 elections? Enlighten me. Enlightening narrative from the left.
Yeah. You know what? Everything is going to be brought up about Trump in 2018 and 2020. First, I don't even know if Trump's going to want to continue to do this job. Possibly. I don't know. Secondly, everything. Every move he makes, everything he says, everything he does, everything the administration does, every misstep, every faux pas is going to be magnified across the board. And it doesn't matter. Just like, do you think if we would have seen a different situation with Hillary, where they found 30,000 emails, but they still didn't prosecute, do you think that the Republicans would have brought that up over and over again? That they should have? Absolutely. It's politics. It's fair game. But my question is, how does this affect you in real life? In the real life, day-to-day world, how does this affect you? And I've yet to find somebody say, well, let me tell you how it affects me. Because it doesn't. And again, it's not because these things aren't something that we should pay attention to. It's not because these aren't things that we should absolutely understand. But in the overall scheme of life importance, where does this rank? And for very few people, does it rank way, 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 way up there? It just doesn't. Again, not because we shouldn't pay attention, just because the truth is of importance in your day-to-day world of paying bills, getting your kids to school on time, picking them up, dealing with the day-to-day drama of being a mom, a dad, a new business owner, a business owner, an employee, going to school, you know, working two jobs to make ends meet. James Comey, like climate change, like a lot of this other stuff that's really loud, ranks very low in people's real world. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Another texter writes in, and I found this to be very intriguing. He says, and this is about the Comey tweet thing that happened where Trump says to Comey, hey, you better not have taped me, right? And I like this, what he says. He says, look, I could be wrong, and I'm assuming it's he. I could be wrong, but my theory is that Trump has a transcript of the conversations with Comey, and he's warning him not to make stuff up on the Sunday morning news shows, or else he's going to release the tapes and make Comey look like a fool. It's a possibility, right? That's a possibility. But I don't think Comey's going to be going on any Sunday morning programs this week. But we'll see what happens, you know? We'll see. Got to get out there, right? Got to get out there and get in front of everything and talk, talk, talk. We talk about immigration. Immigration is, there's two kinds of immigration. There's legal immigration, which we learned this week. Many people across the country are here legally who immigrated the right way are pissed and angry about the people that have come here the wrong way. The Democrats, always deaf to the noise when it comes to certain situations, have made people that are illegal immigrants in many ways, they've made them martyrs. You know, oh my God, you have no idea. We've got this. This is what it's all about. Martyring these people because of what they've gone through, the sacrifices they've made. And well, again, the stories are incredible. The stories are absolutely incredible. What a lot of these people go through and risk to get to this country. But misguided as the Democrats are, the media has done all they can to gin up and paint stories about certain people in certain situations. Case in point, what was going on in Denver, where you had a woman and her family who they didn't want to tear apart. So she was finding sanctuary inside of a church there. And she has now been given a 2-year reprieve by ICE itself. And it's funny when you listen to this story, her attorney, his name's Hans Meyer. And the way that they talk about this and the way that they treat her, again, is if she is some sort of symbol, like this is the right thing to do.
Jeanette Vizguerra has been the symbol of resistance against unjust laws and has been the symbol of fight for fairness and justice in our immigration system. To stand up for fundamental fairness and due process of law in our immigration system. She's an example of what we believe are quintessential American values. Today, we send a message from our community to our country, to D.C., to the world. That message is this: Jeanette belongs here.
Okay, once again, the fundamental American value. She stands up. She's a symbol. What symbol? She came over here illegally. She broke the law. I'm not saying I don't have a heart, because I do. And I think there's a lot of people that have come here and they've done it wrong. We need to sort out who they are. There needs to be fines. They need to be pushed to the back of the line if we're ever going to allow them to become citizens. But they have added to our country in ways. But they've also taken away. And they've also taken away from people that have done it right. But to hold her up as a symbol, again, when she went very much, you know, I mean, she just goes out and she went Julian Assange, and a church allowed that to happen, that upsets me. Sanctuary cities. I love this. This is funny. Sanctuary, California's talking about being a sanctuary state. And then, of course, Abbott in Texas signed a bill that they will not be allowed to be sanctuary cities at all anywhere in the state. So California is rushing to be a sanctuary state. And again, it's all about the let's checkmark everything here that we possibly can when it comes to identity politics. And for the Republicans who want really no part of any of this because they still like the cheap labor, because a lot of their people who throw money at them like that. For the Democrats who love to tug at heartstrings but want a permanent underclass of people who may potentially one day become voters for them. This is what they want. Neither of them are serious. Only Trump seems to be serious and a few others about fixing this. But the thing that makes me laugh is, and the road to hell is paved with what? With good intentions. Many times government steps in and tries to do something which they think is right, and it ends up hurting a lot of people, and they don't understand that, but that's neither here nor there. This is just about immigration. California is getting upset. They're getting pissed. A lot of mayors, right? A lot of mayors and a lot of sheriffs are saying, whoa. You're going to become a sanctuary state. That's what you're trying to get through with this crazy bill. And if we become a sanctuary state, what you're going to do is essentially tell ICE, hey, sheriffs, hey, people who are at jails and people at prison, ICE can no longer be around here. We will no longer cooperate with them. Now, it doesn't mean ICE disappears. No. ICE will still be there. What it means is, the people that you want to protect, the people that you think are, while they've broken the law and come here illegally, have done everything else above board and are trying to do all they possibly can to survive day by day. That means, and they're just law-abiding people who've broken the law once, and that's by coming here. But the rest of the time, they've not done anything else. What do you think ICE is going to do? If ICE can't get to the guys and the bad guys in prison, who everybody acknowledges should be gone. If ICE can't do that, they're going to go out and they're going to conduct raids elsewhere and eventually go after the people that are, quote unquote, the law-abiding people who are here illegally. Hell is paved with good intentions. So the people that you truly want to protect, the people that you want to make sure and welcome you are, you're going to essentially put them even more at risk because the people that are bad, you're going to protect. Wow. If I didn't think you could be any dumber, you go and you surprise me. It's symbols. It's politics. I mean that when neither side wants to get this done. I don't think either side wants comprehensive reform. I think Trump and the people he surrounded himself with and a few senators and congresspeople, they would like to see it. But for a lot of people, they don't. Some people enjoy the free, you know, cheap labor, not free labor, but cheap labor. And that Democrat side of things where you're building a permanent underclass that will continue to keep you in control. Somewhere down the future, when you can finally devise a way to get these people legalized and hand them voting ballots that says, look what we did to you. Look what we did for you. Sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can also check out ChadBensonShow.com. We've got a lot of cool stuff up there, including this gross, crazy, weird Skittles Mother's Day thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Say what? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Baby names that are popular and not popular in this here America. Lot of names. By the way, one of the big names making a move was Kylo Ren. Kylo has now jumped into the top 1,901st most popular boy name. Spoiler alert for the girls, the name Caitlin struggled. Caitlin, spelled in four different variations, has all crashed and fallen out of the top 1,000. The number one name for boys, say what, is Noah. 4 years in a row, by the way. Liam, William, Mason, and James round out the top five most popular boy names. As for the girls, the number one name again was Emma. Emma, the Emanator, the Emma. Third year in a row for Emma. Olivia, Ava, Sophia, and Isabel all round out the top five. Emma and Olivia each accounted for about 1% of all of the baby girls' names. So you can see that. It's very interesting to see that. Yeah, it's all an ebb and flow kind of thing. You go one way, you go another way, you go one way. Next thing you know, people are like, Kylo sounds good, right? Kylo Ren, Star Wars. That sounds good. We'll do that. You never know. Monica was big. Jennifer was big for a while. Jack. I just wanted a name that was just Jack. Simple and easy. 844-TIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. We were talking about immigration before we were rudely interrupted by the break there. Ron and Indy, what's happening?
I'm just going to say, I keep hearing this time and time again about, we all do some amnesty. You know, the ones that are here, we can keep the ones that are law-abiding, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? We don't need any more people. And if you was to take a referendum vote and you was to let people voice their opinion on this one subject, how many people in this country out of 337 million believe that we need to just keep the floodgates of immigration open? I bet you almost 80% would say we need to stop immigration. Any given night. And I'm amazed how many I do not hear speaking about this one stat, statistic. And that's this. Any given night, there's a million homeless people, over a million homeless people in this country. And now I'm starting to see immigrants that can't speak hardly any English, and they're panhandling. And, when I see all the people that we have that need a job, or rather need a, good paying job, because if you're making $10, $11, $12 an hour, hey, that's not a livable wage. You have to be able to pay for rent or, pay for somewhere to stay, safe and clean.
Yeah.
And you have to have some food in your gut and all that. And here it is. I fly to Laughlin on a comp, Paris Casino, and it was a great trip because I got to sit right next to a retired Indian doctor. And I asked him about American health care.
Uh-huh.
And he said this. He said, American health care is the best in the world. He said, you can't afford it. He said, all your hospitals.
Yeah.
He said, they're all, straight out, monopolies. Then ask him about immigration.
There. We got to jump, big man. I appreciate your call. And, we talked about that earlier this week. With the fact that if you can afford health care, we're the best in the world. You can't afford it. We're still good, but it's a struggle out there. One other quick call. Let's jump on it. Francis in Texas. What's happening? Immigration.
Yes, sir. On the immigration, what we need is a solid wall coast to coast. the seacoast and the northern frontier impermeable, can't come in. Okay, then you can ask everybody that's here illegal, we're not going to jump your case, go to the post office, it's set up to get you a green card, and then you move towards citizenship. Anybody else that comes in, three R's, recover them, refresh them, and return them immediately within 3 to 4 days. Throw them out. These people are malcontented. They go back to their own civilization, and a lot of them might just overthrow or get some changes made. As all of these countries have a venting valve towards us, they will never change. They'll continue to screw their people and everybody else.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate your call. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Look, immigration isn't going to be solved tomorrow. Building a wall is not going to solve it overnight. We still have to deal with the people that are here. But until we can turn the spigot off, we can't bail everything out. And we're going to have to figure out how we stop it from happening. And Trump has done that just with his voice alone. But there's still a lot to talk about when it comes to immigration that needs to be solved. And I will say, I think Ron's right about one thing. I think most people are over it and they want it solved. And I don't think people want any more here. I think most of America's had enough. Now fix the problem that's already here. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.